Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating in the time of coronavirus. Of course, these are special episodes we're doing where Julie and I cannot be in the same room to record. We have to do this over Zoom, and not sponsored by Zoom, by the way.
They are sponsored by every podcast right now, let's be honest.
That's so true. It's so weird to be recording not in the same room as you.
I know
we're only on week 3 of this, but it just feels so odd because we're in the same city, less than a mile apart, but
I know
everything has to be virtual.
But you know what I actually found out about today is a new dating app that came on the scene.
Ooh,
it's called Quarantine Together. And it just was released like yesterday. So it's like brand new and they're just like taking applicants. But I think what's hilarious about it is that in order to get a match, you have to say that you've washed your hands and you've been away from people and then you can get a match.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is this sponsored by the CDC or something? Like the CDC came out with a dating app?
No, I think it's probably just a lot of bored people that are working on a side project right now is my guess.
I mean, I think that's cool because it's very timely, but I also think what's going to happen after we're all out of quarantine? Are they out of business?
They'll move to another. I don't know. They're staying relevant.
I guess now's a better time than ever to launch some new dating apps because everyone's searching for what else is out there to facilitate connections, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
What's been going on in your life?
You know, being on phone calls, Zoom calls, the usual. I've been cooking a lot, which has been really great. Editing some podcasts, you know. I think we'll get to it in this week's episode, but I think there's something nice about having the alone time too. It does let you reflect on just what's been going on and what changes to make and all of that. And I surprisingly I kind of got over that hump of feeling like, oh my God, I'm here by myself, to not feeling that lonely. Like, yes, I'm alone, but I feel like I've had a lot of interaction, which has been good. You know, just every day at a time, I try to keep remembering like, there's really a lot worse stuff going on, like on the front lines. So I'm just lucky to be where I am right now. That's the mentality I'm trying to keep.
You know, there's something really empowering to figure out how to do your life remotely. Not just work, but just your entire way of life. It's very freeing to me to know that once we adapt to this new circumstance, this new situation, that eventually we can all just take our lives remote. You can travel for months in a year, but still keep in touch with your friends and family and still do your work and still feel like you are part of society. So totally. I think we're getting there. I think this is a really good social experiment.
How has the last week been for you?
It's been really great in terms of just compartmentalizing my time to know that I work from 9 to 5 and that's it. It's, you know, it's really hard to shut off when you're at home and to make that separation between work and non-work. So I think you have to like consciously make that separation. And what I really love is our Facebook group, if you haven't joined it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Love in the Time of Corona by the Dateable Podcast. It's a private group. We're having some really interesting conversations in that group and also just seeking support from each other and knowing that we're not in this alone and that we can support each other through all of this. It's been great making some of those connections in the Facebook group. And, you know, yesterday I joined this virtual dance party with this DJ that's local and he's really good. Adam Brody. Wait, oh shit, what's his name? Sorry. I thought it was fantastic. There were like 85 people on the Zoom and everybody got dressed up. And everyone's like boogieing in their house and it went on for hours. It was fantastic. And he was spitting out some really sick beats. It was wonderful. And I said this in the Facebook group, there were two people that were flirting with each other in the chat group, but they were like, they didn't like private chat each other, but they would mention each other's name in that public chat. And then I think they really hit it off. It was kind of funny. It was like an organic connection.
Well, I think the Facebook group's been really interesting to see how people are coping with this and different ideas. Like someone sent over like a 36 questions to kind of talk to either your partner or someone that you're with either in person or remotely. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was just like some good ideas of date nights that people have been talking about or date ideas. So yeah, I've been really excited to see what others bring to the table and kind of just get those perspectives.
Yeah, please. It's a private group. So we make sure that it's well curated and all of our content is also relatable and relevant for what's going on right now. So find us. It's called Love in the Time of Corona by the Dateable Podcast.
Love it.
You know, something else that's been on my mind, Julie, is money.
Oh, yep.
Yep. I think that's on everyone's mind. I love the stimulus bill. That's great. That's being passed. But also, what about future? I mean, I am really grateful that we encountered our sponsor, Empower, that Julie and I have both been using, which is an app that helps you auto-save. So you don't even have to think about it.
Right. No, it's been a really good time to have one of these because, yeah, like you mentioned, not everyone's even seeing the money from that bill. And even if you are, it is time to think beyond just that lump sum. So what I've been really loving about Empower is that feature that lets you just kind of set the budget that you want and stay on track of that every week. And especially right now, I feel like we haven't been going out or doing any activities. So I kind of have been just taking the money that I typically spend on that and putting it in for Empower to go into savings mode a bit more.
Yeah, I feel like my Empower account is really robust right now because I didn't realize how much money I spent on going out and drinking. And another part that I realized I'm saving on is the commute, just the Lyft rides and the Uber rides. You're not sacrificing that money. That money's not being taken away from you. It's just money you would have spent anyway. And now it's being put into a savings account. So if you want to get on board with us, you can download the app as well in the App Store or Play Store. It's spelled Empower. Over 650,000 other people have downloaded it, so you know it's legit. And for listeners of Dateable, you get $5 when you use the code DATEABLE. Just visit empower.me/DATEABLE for more details.
Cool. Well, okay. Yeah, I think this is the perfect time to be having any savings type sponsor. So I'm glad that this worked out.
And other than finances, in addition to finances, it's how do I not murder the person I'm in quarantine with?
Well, I think this is a funny story too. And this has been definitely a highlight of my week and our guest that we have on this episode, Shallon Lester. She also said it was a highlight of her week. So that made me super happy. But she's someone that we've been wanting to get on the podcast forever. She has this like crazy popular YouTube channel where she kind of dishes about celebrities and ties their love lives back to actionable advice for the everyday person. So she has some really freaking hilarious content, but it also gets really
real. Like, she really gives good advice.
I used to think YouTube personalities were just people who gave out content purely for entertainment reasons. But Shallon's freaking legit. Her advice has been some of the best advice I've ever heard. She is so real and she is very opinionated. So that's why we're so excited to have Shallon Lester on the show. We've got Shallon Lester on Zoom with us. Woo! So we can see her on video. And she is in her fancy Target sweats.
But she's wearing hoops, so she's classy as fuck.
But it's hoops, so it's intentional. So this is like a look. Yeah, it's not just the rock bottom of my life.
But isn't that funny? That's how you know when they're fancy sweats is when they match.
Right. It's very intentional. It's very Blanche Devereaux. I'm in a look. You know,
thank you for dressing up for us.
This is like my own personal Met Gala. I'm like, this is my moment.
That's part of video only is we really need to get dressed from the top up. Like you could be wearing anything. I know. It's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. I have
right.
no pants
I could
on.
Have tentacles. Yeah. Oh no.
Well, if you don't know who Shallon is, then you've been living under a rock because she is a very popular YouTuber. She currently lives in New York. She's been there for 12 years, originally from Irvine. She's in her early 30s, pretty single, but also has been taking a dating sabbatical. I guess when you're quarantined, you kind of have to do that too. She's a popular YouTuber who tells it like it is and breaks down celebrity relationships, scandals, psychology, to see what lessons we can all learn and give you this no-nonsense advice and real-world tips on everything from dating apps and players to family and friends and fuckboys. That is your that is your ultimate. You're an expert on fuckboys.
I know. I'm like the fuckboy whisperer. I know what to do with them.
I feel like that's how I found you. I swear I did a Google search and it was like fuckboys, Shallon Lester.
Shallon, your SEO is on fire. He's just like, fuckboy, Shallon Lester.
That's why they find me. They're like, hey, I Googled myself and I found you. So you want to go out? And
I Googled myself.
I Googled my own terrible traits and I came to you.
When she's not talking about fuckboys, she's also an author, former columnist at Glamour and New York Daily News, and editor of Star Magazine, NYC It Girl, and the host of Girl on Top podcast, where she answers your burning questions about love, lust, life, and lip gloss. Mm-hmm. Is it lip glass? No, it's lip gloss.
I'm not down for that matte look. Down
and
for
everything
glass.
In between. She's also, if you you guys have to check this out, she's been hosting a daily quarantine dating advice live stream on her YouTube and
had
some very sound advice. And how we started talking to each other was basically, how do you not murder the person that you're in quarantine with? So first we should establish, who are you currently in quarantine with?
I'm quarantined with my mom, which is good because she's the best. And this house is better than my New York City apartment in Brooklyn. So because I work from home and I know you guys do what I do, it's like, is this that different from my regular life? Perhaps it is not. And what does that say about how I've been living?
I love those memes that's like the quarantine life. Oh, nope. This is my normal life. Nothing's changed at all.
Yeah. It's like, I can't wait to get back to New York.
But you're in LA right now, right? Or Orange County area?
In Orange County with the fam. So that's
you're in Irvine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. My parents live in Aliso. So we're very, parents are very close to you. I had a choice of either quarantining with them or being back up here in San Francisco. So we could have been neighbors at some point.
But you wouldn't have seen each other anyways.
We could have gone to the Spectrum, like stood on opposite sides of the fountain and waved to each other. My favorite place.
No, we could have gone on the Ferris wheel. You be one and I'll be the other. And we can like text each other. It would have been so romantic.
Let's be honest. You guys would have been on this exact same Zoom that we're on right now.
I know.
But sure, like being quarantined with your mom is great, but how do you, I mean, being with one person 24/7 is always going to be hard. No wonder, no matter how wonderful they are. So what are some ways that you're trying to like not kill each other right now?
Definitely having individual schedules, you know, like she's an early riser. I'm more of a night owl. And so she gets up and she has her alone time in the morning. And then I have my alone time at night. And I think that's really like crucial where it's like, you can just watch what you want. You can do what you want. Cause I live by myself and she lives by herself. A lot of us were quarantined with people who are working a ton and someone who isn't working at all, you know? And so they're like, hey, what are you doing? What you doing? What you doing? I saw a cat. Do you like colors? And you're like, ah, like I have to do my work. So yeah. It's good to be like, I work from 8 to noon and then I take an hour lunch break and that's when I can hang out with you. And then I work from 1 to 3 or whatever, you know, because my mom, she's retired. So she's got her little house projects, but I'm like, I'm sure for you guys too, for content creators, this is like our Super Bowl. Like we are like keeping people from just jumping off a cliff and keeping everyone entertained. Yeah. So I'm just pumping things out. It's good for me the night before to be like, okay, this is my schedule tomorrow. So, you know, we can have lunch between here and here. And if I am busy, if I'm in my room with my door shut, I'm not just like ignoring you, I'm doing work, you know? And then when I come out of my room, it's like hang time. And so it helps no one feel like they're being neglected. And it gives other people a chance to have their own schedule as well. And that's really crucial because otherwise the emotional load is too much for people to bear. I think, especially if you're in like a dating relationship, it's like, you can't be your boyfriend's absolutely everything right now, even though he might need that and want that. And if you fall into that pattern, it can be very, very difficult to get out of it.
Yeah, especially too with two people working from home. There's a lot of like video calls that are happening. I think the way you've kind of established like different space from your boyfriend, I think that, I mean, obviously if you can, if you're in a studio, that might be a little harder, right?
Yeah.
So it does depend on your living situation. But I think as much as you can divide this up into like office work areas, that could help with things too.
Yeah, I feel so lucky that I have the store and I can just lock myself in here while he's out in the living room. But no joke, I'm just going to whisper this. I walked out earlier and I was like, babe, what are you doing? He's like, I'm organizing our alcohol in alphabetical order.
You're like, you've hit a wall.
Cute. Like, okay, babe. Back to work I go.
that's like, really cute.
Everyone's gonna do what they gotta do right now.
Right.
When both people are at home and they don't work the same job, it's you're on different schedules. So you kind of have to establish a boundary of some sort somewhere.
So what about the singles out there? Because I'm kind of on that boat and I have a different set of problems, right? That I'm like literally living alone by myself. Family lives across the country. I kind of miss the window for that. What are some tips you have for singles to stay sane in this time?
You know, I think this is the great hibernation that we are going through as like globally. And there has never been a time where we are all kind of united in this winter season in terms of like hibernating. And when an animal hibernates, you don't think that, well, that's also the time it should be mating and foraging for food. You and the animal acknowledge like that's the time when they like recede, they grow, they do what they need to do. And then there's a spring season after that, you know, and we as people, we don't think that that's the case for us. But this could be. This is the time where we can set positive habits in our life, even if it's flossing, like get in the habit of flossing. Because I think either we're like, we're on two opposite extremes. It's like, I just need to survive and get in my fancy Target outfit and then I'm winning. Or it's like, I need to come out of this with a six pack and a book written and a this and a that. And it's like, just come out of this on a path, you know, whether it's the flossing path. I'm working out 10 minutes a day now. Every morning I get up and I stretch and I do planks and that's my path, you know, because we have the chance to really focus on what we want to do without the distraction of dating. And dating is off the table for every single person on planet Earth right now. And that's crazy. But that means we are at the forefront of our own priorities and we might not get this chance again. You know, I mean, I hope we don't end up quarantined again, but like there's a silver lining to this if we look for it and if we really grab a hold of it.
Right. What would you say to people though that are like, hey, Shallon, I'm already on a time crunch. Like I'm hitting a certain age and now I've lost like 6 months of potential like valuable time. What do I do?
I mean, it's definitely easy to think that, but you know, there's no such thing as off schedule. Everything is on the perfect schedule. I'm a big believer in manifestation and that things unfold the way they unfold. And if you, the worst thing you can do with dating is approach it from a fear-based standpoint, you know, because that is pure desperation, and desperation is the strongest smell in the universe. Boys can, you know, everyone can detect it a mile away. So if you're like, oh, I'm not going to meet anyone, well, you're right. No one wants to be around that desperate person. But if you're using this time as growth, it's not lost time at all. You know, you don't look at a bear hibernating and be like, you piece of shit, you lazy bastard. You're like, that bear is doing what it needs to do. You
you're
know,
like, it's why getting are you better. On it's hinge, resting. Bear.
Right.
Yeah, bear.
Loser.
Yeah. Go on the hinge for bears. Damn it.
You're like, no. That bear knows what it's doing and it's getting ready for a larger season, for a different season, you know? So we can't change that this is happening, but we can change what it means. And if we look at it like this is a waste of time and it's lost. All right, then that's your reality. But if you're like, this is time that I'm going to enjoy myself, I'm going to love my own emotional real estate now, and I'm going to feel comfortable with my thoughts and be alone with myself and just enjoy my time, that now dating is not, I got to find a partner. It's like, what do you bring to the table? Like, mm-hmm. who are you? You know, I enjoy myself. I spend 6 weeks alone. I'm good here. What are you doing to enrich my life? You know, it's a good time to reset the people who are in our life that we've probably kept in out of like mania. It's like, I can't mm-hmm. be alone. I can't not, you know, and now it's like, if we can lean into this anxiety of being by ourselves and get comfortable with it, oh my God, the people who are now going to be in our life are going to be so much higher quality.
I was going to say, I feel like after I went through a really terrible breakup, I spent a lot of more alone time and like taking mm-hmm. trips myself and really valuing my own time, because I realized I had always just been filling the time with like friends and events and whatever. And I was never like alone yeah. in my thoughts. And I'm kind of glad that I had that, that like yeah. transformation back then, because I feel like it's kind of mentally prepared me for now. And I'm not like yeah. going out of my mind.
And you consciously did that. Imagine all these people who are not consciously doing that, all of a sudden hit with this mandatory alone time. I think it's really shocking for a lot of people who haven't been alone with themselves, even if they live with a bunch of roommates.
Yeah.
It's like really hard to just be alone and face yourself. There's something really yeah. powerful in that. And it's a great social experiment for all of us to be in right now.
Right. And we see yeah. a lot of times like people sometimes pick the wrong partners because of the fear of being alone. So if you can
get sometimes, I would say the majority of the time. I see this all the time, you know, for real.
Shallon, on your yeah. live stream, mm-hmm. what are some of the common questions that you've been getting?
Like, why aren't people talking to me? Like guys that I was talking to, or I thought like I haven't heard from them. They're in this quarantine. Why not? It's like, because he doesn't care. That's why not. Like everyone's locked up with their phone and their laptop. And if he's not talking to you, it's because he doesn't care. And like, these are data points we cannot avoid logging. Like
right.
you have to look at that. Like if someone isn't checking in on you, like I'm dating a few people and like, they're like texting here and there, but no one has been like, how are you? Are you okay? Is your mom okay? Mm. And I'm like, you know what? I don't forget this shit, because you're going to want me to come out of hibernation into the spring season and go right back into bed with you, bro. I don't think so. Uh-huh. I don't think so. And same with friends.
If there's no better, I know that you have many tactics to identify and deal with fuckboys, but I feel like this is like a super obvious one that's coming through right now.
I mean, seriously, if he's not texting you back or if she's not texting you back now, like what the fuck are they doing? Obviously, they're
what are they doing?
They're right. texting other people. So yeah, that is insane to me that people are still get hung up on that, because then they probably look for evidence of this person still expressing interest. Like, oh yeah, but yes. they liked my Instagram post, right?
If someone can do it on the toilet, it doesn't count as courtship.
Yeah.
It doesn't count as courtship. Like even texting, you like the boys I date, they call me, we call, we have FaceTimes. Like, and okay, that's good. But it's like, that can't be the only thing that you're doing. And one thing I've realized is how often girls make excuses for boys who don't even have the interest to make excuses for themselves. Mm. Oh, he's probably this, he's probably that. I was like, has he said any of this to you? Has he apologized to you?
Right.
No, you're just like spewing out these excuses for him. And he doesn't even care enough to do that for himself. Like pull back. And again, it's like, we're trying to fill this emotional silence with people and excuses and whatever. And it's like, this is such an opportunity to get to take a quantum leap in terms of maturity to where we want to be. And the world is going to separate from a dating point of view into people who didn't do that work and they came out of this eroded, and people who did do that work, because it is work, it is difficult, mm-hmm. and who came out of it elevated.
Let's hold that thought for a sec. We'll get right back to it. This episode is sponsored by Viya. We all know there are things that can help set the mood in the bedroom, but did you know a little THC could also do that? Yes, Viya has developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. This gummy, wow, it will awaken your senses, increase blood flow, and intensify any sexual experience. I've been pleasantly surprised by the High Love gummies because it is just the right amount of
THC for me to have a good time without feeling sleepy. And hey, if THC is not your thing, Viya also offers a wide array of other gummies without it. And everything legally ships in 50 states with discreet packaging directly to your door. So if you're over 21, you can get 15% off and a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC plus CBN sleep gummies with our exclusive code DATEABLE at viahemp.com. That's VIIAHEMP.com. Let the gummies work their magic. Head to viahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their sleepy dream gummies. That's viahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with high love from Viya Hemp. Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/dateable. Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
What about this situation? Mm-hmm. Someone who says, okay, I've been dating this guy. Now we're in quarantine. He hasn't really checked in. He's not texting me. Should I call him out on it and communicate to him how I feel right now? Or should I just let it go and just take this as a red flag and know that I should just end this relationship?
Calling people out is tough. It's like closure is something you have to give to yourself, because if we could get closure from the people who hurt us, if they were that mature and communicative, we wouldn't need closure to begin with, you know? But if you want to call someone out, you can, but don't do it with hope or agenda, you know? Because if you're calling someone out, you want them to respond. You want them to be like, I'm so sorry. You want them to say the excuses you've already laid in place for them. But if you just need to be like, you know what? This isn't working for me. I would say it after this quarantine is over, when they come back, hey, what are you doing? Be like, you know what? You could have asked what I was doing for the last 6 weeks. You didn't give a fuck. So guess what? That's now a two-way street.
Right. Well, I think it's also a two-way street in the sense that you could also reach out instead of calling them out. Like, why don't you just hit up the person that you've been dating and ask how they're doing? And
no,
you don't agree.
No,
men
pursue women.
Let's debate it. What are your thoughts? Actually, let me say my piece and then I'll have you debate.
Okay.
It's good. I love the healthy debates. So my personal opinion is, if you've been dating someone for a little, you're not really hearing from them, I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt one time. one time is the key word of this, because you don't really know what's happening with them, right? Like, best case scenario is they're just sitting at home and ignoring you. That actually is best case scenario, in my opinion, right now. God forbid they got sick. They have a family member that's sick. Like, it's real shit happening right now. So I wouldn't want to jump to any conclusions. So what I would do is I'd probably ask them how they're doing, start the convo, see what their reception is. If they give you like one word answers, don't really ask stuff back, then yeah, put them in fuckboy category, but see how that progresses. And then after that, yeah, you don't have to be the one checking in every week. I think at this time, like, we are all trying to not make assumptions that someone is kind of out there to get you. I would personally would like to lead with giving people benefit of the doubt for step one. So let me get your thoughts. She's like, no, I don't agree at all. Okay.
Because listen, I guarantee you, and I say this with love, that's not an outlier behavior of yours. You probably give these guys benefits of the doubt outside of the quarantine. If you look back on your dating history, you can probably say, maybe I've been a little too elastic with people. Yes or no?
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, me too. Like, I'm not saying this, like, but the reason I say that is because it's such a slippery slope, you know? We're like, well, now, maybe now we actually do have a reason to give people the benefit of the doubt. But if we put that in our mind as an okay way to treat people who could also be giving us the benefit of the doubt, they could also be like, oh, maybe she's got a family member. Whatever we're thinking about boys, it's humanly possible that they could be thinking it about us.
Right.
And that they, as men, we're not teenagers, they're grown men, alpha males, ostensibly, that's who we want to date, you know, like fully formed men, not like weird beta males, could be like, hey, I'm going to reach out to this young woman who has like parents and a family. Like, why do we have to put ourselves out there when they could be human beings and be doing that to us? And this is my theory, and I talk about this in my videos. It's what I call the passive reciprocation loop. Like, someone will respond to your text and they'll bounce the ball back and you'll have a conversation. They'll answer your call. They will allow you to come over and suck their dick. Yeah, great.
What a treat.
But that's not courtship. That's not the same as forward courtship. If we remove our efforts, what is left?
Right.
You know? And so one day they fade out, they ghost out, and we're like, what happened? And the truth is, nothing happened. They weren't chasing us then. They're not chasing us now. You know, and all these little, like, what's the big deal? It's just a text. It's just an invite. It's just this. I lived my entire dating career like this. Like, I am learning from my own very hard examples, but like, it seems like, oh, well, what's the big deal? If it's not a big deal, they should be doing it. And if they're not, that's data. And we have to just let that play out. We have to let it fade out. As painful and like nonsensical as it might be, there's no reason men can't be fucking texting us. Like, there's no reason. There's no excuse.
How do you really feel?
Because I wasted so many years doing this.
Yeah.
I wasted so many years. And I want people to not learn from their own mistakes. I want them to learn from mine.
So tell us about that. I want to hear your background and how you came out of it.
Yes. But can I give my opinion as well?
Because
I'm going to take the middle road here, and I'm not just being a pansy, but I really think there are two ways to think about this. One way is to think, okay, well, if the other person, well, the man should, I hate using the word should, but the man.
I don't. They should. Okay. Because there's so many things that women should do. We should shave our legs. We should wear makeup. We should. We have a million shoulds. Men have fucking one. They should pursue us. And that's one too many.
And I used to totally feel this way too. I feel like the man should be the pursuer, the courtship, and you should reach out. You should feel like I'm taken care of. And if you don't really care about me. At the same time, I think in this climate of Me Too, okay, and we've talked about this on our podcast too, the gender roles are very confusing, especially for younger men. And we have a lot of younger men reaching out to us saying, I actually don't know what I'm supposed to do right now.
Right.
I know their shoulds from before, and I know the shoulds from now. I don't know how to make the two shoulds happen at the same time. So it's a should of I should be the pursuer, I should be the aggressor, and then I should also be respectful and ask for consent, and I should also step back. So I can also see right now during this quarantine some men feeling really confused. I do want to reach out, but should I?
I
don't know if that's too aggressive. I don't know if that's too presumptuous. Yes, I see.
I see the face.
Yeah. I see the duck face.
No man.
Shallon's like,
if a man is trying to tell you that he's not sure if a text message, hey, how are you doing, is too aggressive, he's a fucking liar. That's a lying, gaslighting man who is turning this around. Well, gee, I would check in on you, but you're such a crazy feminist. I don't know how to act. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I feel the same way.
Don't gaslight women who have finally stood up for themselves and then be like, well, I don't know. You made it so impossible. I guess I just need a blowjob without kissing. I don't know. I'm not sure because I don't want to touch you because I don't know about consent. So you can just touch me.
I mean, germs spread the fastest through COVID-19 through kissing. So
right,
blowjobs right. It is, right?
I know. I had said that when this thing first started, I was like, here they come. Like, here they
here
come.
Here they come. I do think that because of the quarantine, we should just let all that, let it go. I think we should, I don't mean to be Elsa here, but I think we should just literally let it go because who cares about the gender roles? Who
right.
cares about the presumptions? If you truly care about this other person, how they're doing, just reach out with a text. It's not that hard and we shouldn't be thinking that much about it for both men and women. So if you feel the need to reach out to someone, stopping yourself and being like, no, I shouldn't because this person should have done it first. Like, who cares? This is not a game. This is not a race. We're no longer in competition with each other. It's not me against you. We're in this together against coronavirus. So why don't we just unite and just let the wall down?
Yeah.
Because we're still animals and there is not a female in the animal kingdom that pursues the male. That's not how it goes. And if anything, we should use this time to reset our behavior. And like I was saying, like, it's such a slippery slope. It's like, yeah, right now, let's all just come together, hands across America, whatever. But we know that that is going to bleed into after this quarantine because we were probably doing it before, you know? Maybe we're like the girls who cried wolf. It's like, all right, well, now really is the time that we can like set aside these games or whatever. But the fact is they're not games, they're courtship and men pursue women. Women we have our thing that we have to do. We give birth. Men never take that off our plate. That's just not how it goes. So if a man can't even text us and take that off our plate, and because we were talking about gender roles and the Me Too thing, if a man isn't pursuing me, that tells me he doesn't understand what it's like to be a woman and he doesn't care. He thinks he deserves to be courted and chased the same because we're the same. We're not the same, sweetheart. We're not physically as strong as men. We have the pay gap. We have laws against our bodies that men are never going to have to deal with. We're the ones who get raped and beat up. So if he thinks that we're equal, he doesn't understand women. And I dare say he doesn't want to, and he probably doesn't really like women. And I want to see that. I need to see that writing on the wall about who I'm dealing with. Anyone can be nice in service of a blowjob. Anyone can be charming for a few dates. But if he, at the end of the day, you should be coming to me. No. That's who you really are.
So I think there's two guys out there. Like, I think there are the actual guys like you've been describing that are like, oh, I'm going to hit you up in 6 weeks once this shit blows over and everything's going to go back to normal. And I'm just too selfish. And I think that is a fuckboy. And I'd love your definition of a fuckboy. But I think the other side, and this is the guy that UA and I come into contact with, is there are these like super clueless guys that are maybe beta clueless men that you don't want to date, but they exist, right? So I don't think all men that aren't making moves are necessarily doing it maliciously. Whether they're the guy you want to date or not, that's another story. But I do think there is a pocket of them, exactly what you said. There are those guys out there. How do you decide if it's that guy or the clueless guy? How do you know?
Let's take a moment for our sponsor, Generation Tux. While during this time, many plans are being postponed, especially the big day for some, we still wanted to pass along this great offer from them for when plans resume again. For all you men out there planning your special day, Generation Tux takes away the headache of finding you the perfect tux. You simply create your look online, including your groom's party, and everything arrives within 14 days of your big day at your doorstep. Generation Tux offers free home try-on program for grooms. You can also get free swatches delivered straight to your door. And after the big event, you just throw everything back in the box and use the prepaid label to drop off at UPS. So keep note of this: free shipping, free swatches, free home try-on. Now you can save money and time with Generation Tux. Check out generationtux.com/dateable and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off your entire groom's party. Again, that's generationtux.com/dateable and check out with the code DATEABLE. Now back to this episode.
How do you decide if it's that guy or the clueless guy? How do you know?
You know what? What's the difference between a bad driver and a drunk driver? Nothing. In terms of outcome, nothing. They can both do the exact same amount of damage. And I didn't mean to, doesn't insulate anyone from being hurt. you know? And like, there's fuckboys, but on my channel, I talk about good guy fuckboys.
Okay.
You know, where it's like, they're not a bad person. They're a good guy, but they're like, you just get all twisted about them. And for me, a fuckboy is someone who treats you like you're in a different category than you are. There's really only three categories: friend, booty call, girlfriend, right? Don't treat me like a girlfriend if I'm a booty call. Don't treat me like I'm a friend if I'm a girlfriend. That's when girls go crazy, as guys like to say, because like, we're making decisions based on a reality that does not exist. You know, we're going down this rabbit hole thinking we're on one path and we're not. Jerky guys do that more purposefully, like the true fuckboys.
Right.
But good guy fuckboys do it more cluelessly, you know? And the result is the same. Our obsession, our broken heart, our confusion, we feel stupid. So it's like, being clueless is correctable, but we teach people how to treat us. What we permit, we promote. I say this all the time. What we permit, we promote. And so if we're taking that call after 6 weeks of not hearing from someone, okay, y'all hang up. What did you just permit and promote? You know, so that's why we have to get really, really good with ourselves about what our boundaries are and what we will and won't accept, and fucking stick to it. Even if it means, okay, I'm sitting at home now by myself, and okay, now I have to get back on Tinder. It's quality versus quantity, you know, and when you can't be alone, you don't want quality. You want quantity, you know?
It's actually really powerful to think about this analogy of bad driver versus drunk driver, because for both of them, you would not want them back on the road again. So that's kind of like similar to, you don't want them in your life again, because that's,
you don't want them.
Because if you allow them on the road again, they'll keep doing the kind of driving that they do on the road. The course of action is to put them back in driver's ed and make sure that they're more educated, but that's not your job to educate them on how to drive.
That is not our job. I love
it. We are not rehabilitation centers for stupid men. We are not. Our pain, you know, but we think that we are because we love a project, because we don't want to be alone with our thoughts and we don't want to fix our own issues. So, oh my God, it's so much easier to fix his. That is the definition of codependence. I care more about fixing his problems than he cares about fixing them.
What can a clueless man do at this point? Where can they seek that education?
Sharon Less does YouTube.
Google fuckboy and then Sharon Lester comes up. Even if you don't think you're a fuckboy, just Google it.
And if you're a hot one, I'll probably still date you. Girl, if you're a D1 athlete, come talk to me. But yeah, I mean, you can call guys out. Like, I date young guys. Like, the boys I'm dating are 22. And that's like my sweet spot. I love younger boys.
22?
I love them.
Like, fresh out of the oven? Like, what?
So like 10 years younger, you're going.
They're so cute.
But why? Why?
I've realized that there's not a huge correlation in terms of age and maturity. And like, the worst breakup I ever had was a 40-year-old. And I was, talk about clueless. I was trying to like give him feedback and be like, you can't do this. And he's like, I don't fucking care. He's like, you don't like this? I'll trade up for a 25-year-old.
Yikes.
But it's like the boys who are younger, you give them feedback and they're like, oh, okay. Like, they're still like willing to learn about women. You know, they're in school. They're literally learning all day.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah. They're still in college for sure.
But I think that's a good point. It's like, if someone is willing to work with you versus telling you that they just know how it is, that's a good sign to see if they're really a fuckboy.
Yeah, but going back to this driver analogy, I can't get off of it because I'm still on this highway. I'm like, hey, driving down this highway looking for a drunk and bad driver. I feel like the onus is, yes, on the men to get their education, but also on other women. Because other women, there are some women who will be like, just go for a mile. You're only allowed on the road for a mile. And that guy will take that mile and stretch it to 5 miles. And the next woman will be like, it's cool. I know you're a bad driver, but you can go on the road as long as it's just under 5 miles. And this fucks it up for the rest of the women who come onto this road. And they're like, no, I don't want you on this road. And they're like, oh, these other women let me drive 6 miles.
You know what though? Totally. I think this goes back. I'm sticking to my original guns on the one call out, okay?
Like, she's handing out driver's licenses left and right, just like
one driver's license, and then I revoke that shit. But I think, again, I think people aren't mind readers. And I think that's why it's like, you say how you want to be treated. I agree with you 100% on people will do what you let them do. I think different situations are more obvious than others. Like, I think that's a pretty obvious one. Like, if they've just gone dark and then they hit you up at like midnight. Okay, that's like a pretty obvious, in my opinion, I would just ignore that. But I think it's more these ones that are kind of like on the edge that I'm a little more forgiving to at least give them that one out. And I'd maybe even just flat out say like, hey, like, I'm a little disappointed that X happened, and let them respond. But then after that, and again, hear what they say. Like we were talking about earlier, your ex that just was like, that's how I am. That's not cool, right? But if they're like, oh my God, I had no idea. Like, let me, you know, do this, this, and this. Let's talk about it. I think that's a very different reaction. And you can really gauge someone a lot differently. I stand by the one-time call out.
No, you're right. But what I've learned is like, everyone's going to say, oh, I'm so, okay. Yep. You know, and even my douchey ex, he didn't flat out say, I'll trade up. But I mean, he implied it. And at the end of the day, his behavior never changed. His behavior never changed. So like, yeah, call someone out. And don't even listen to what they say. It's like, I just try to go like totally blank. And like, that's why I like to do it almost via text. Because if I'm calling someone out in real life, I get bamboozled by like the chemistry. Because text, it's like, I can simply like not even read the text and then base it on, is there a behavioral shift? Because they're just going to shuck and jive and be like, oh, you're right. Gosh, I'm sorry. And it's like, is the effort maybe like 5% more? And then it just goes way back. Because we have to remember that when someone likes you truly in the right way, none of these things really happen. Like, and I didn't know this until I got into a healthy relationship. I wasn't stressing over the text that I was sending. He was leading all the conversations. When I was on the first date, he was planning the second date, planning the third date. Like every question in my mind was already answered up front. And yeah, I mean, not like it's 100% smooth sailing. There's going to be like, this is what I need. This is what you need. And the refining, but it was not the anxiety of what do I have to do? How do I have to play this to get him to plug into me the way I'm plugged into him. Like, that was not present.
So maybe that's the litmus test, because I agree and I'm not promoting people to like give people the benefit of the doubt if they're feeling like super anxious. I think it's like, if you feel that, you say it, you say your needs, then they don't act on it. I fully agree with like what they say actually means nothing, but I think having the conversation at least makes them aware. And then you can see how they act.
Yes.
But I agree. If you're feeling on edge, anxious all the time, like listen to that feeling.
Yeah. Because that truly, we don't understand that that is not how it's supposed to feel. And that sounds so obtuse and obvious, but it isn't obvious if that's all you've ever felt in relationships and dealing with boys. It's like, and you hear, you watch movies and it's like, they break up, they get back together. Love never runs smooth. Like, actually it should. It should run pretty darn smooth for a really long time.
So what's your story? I want to hear your story. And
give it
I
want to
hear
us.
About your past fuck boys, how you identified them, how you changed it, and then how you got into healthy relationships.
The old, young, and geriatric. Give it to us.
I had gone down all of these paths too. Like I had done everything that I cautioned girls against. I had done like times 1 million and I was so chronically single and I would look around my life. I'd be like, I'm an author. I'm cute-ish. Target.
And super cute.
Like, I'm hoops.
Yeah. Like I never had a problem meeting guys. I had a problem keeping guys. That would be so corrosive to my self-esteem. I'm like, well, they like me until they get to know me. This is horrible. You know, looking back on my behavior, I was so fragmented as a person. I was Shallon casting the role of boyfriend in her life. It's like, whoever comes through the door, sure, you want to do a reading? Yeah, that's fine. Like, I was just looking for like an emotional seat filler. And the guys I would get twisted on, like I have a name for people like this, and we all have one. I call them a hurt locker, because it's like this person in which we store all of our hurts. And my hurt locker was a professional hockey player. And it took me years to get over it, years and years, because the people we get super fixated on, they're not the people we love and want to date. They're the people we want to be. And we don't know how to translate these traits. Like we do like female to female, like a girl crush. But boys, it's like he had his whole life together. He was so humble. He was so hardworking. He was so focused. And I was literally none of those things. I was like bratty and lazy. And so I was like, I love you. And all of my hurt lockers, they've been boys that I've imprinted on during a really low emotional point in my life. Like I was married for about a year and I got divorced and I met this boy after that. And I was like, I'm obsessed with you. Like I couldn't even breathe. My moods lived and died by whether or not we were talking. And it was a horrible manic place to be. And it was because I wanted to be him, because he was like young and fresh and just starting his life. And I felt like my life was over, you know, like I felt washed up and terrible. And when I finally stopped running from all of those feelings, and focused truly on my life and did like housekeeping emotionally for myself, everything started to change. You think like, oh, doing that work, it's going to be a year and a half of celibacy and daily crying. And it's not.
Like, well, everyone's celibate now anyways, right?
Right. There you
yes,
go.
We are. Yeah. Not even the people coupled up are getting laid. Like they're so sick of each other by now. I have to believe that.
That makes you feel better. It makes me feel better too. Yes.
No, we're fucking like bunnies. Don't worry. Still happening. It's fantastic.
I hate you. But I'm glad. I'm glad somebody is, if not me. But yeah, it's like you realize once you just do a little bit of that introspection and like learning, I call them like emotional autopsies, you know, like going back through situations that didn't work out, just like a real autopsy, they're disgusting. It's awful and nauseating to like tear something open and really look at it. But that's how you can learn. After my divorce and after my Hurt Locker, I met my ex-boyfriend, Max, who like my fans know all about him and he's done videos with me. And we broke up last year, like off and on, and then like re-broke up a month ago. And it's been fucking brutal. And it's like, this is another, we're doing another autopsy. Mm. It's not fun. It's not fun, but like the work has to keep continuing. And after every breakup, there has to be that learning. And because learning is growth, but growth is painful and it's awkward.
So I've been there myself too, but why do you think even despite all the growth, you're still kind of going back and forth with him?
Because of codependency. And I'm like learning that, like it's because that was what I said and what I was talking to my therapist about. I'm like, why can't I let go? And the obvious answer is, well, you love them. And it's like, we can't just say that it's love. And it is. But like, I was very fixated on fixing all of his problems. Mm. This is what I do for a living, you know? And I couldn't turn it off. And that's always been my role in like friendships. Like I'm the fixer and I'm giving advice. And I just became so, it turned into a parent-child dynamic. Mm. You know? And then it was like, I'm nagging about his shoelaces and the Swiffer's on upside down. And it's like,
But this is also something we hear from our listeners too, is that they turn the focus on the other person. You know, once this person becomes the person I want them to be, our relationship is going to be flawless. Oh. And we hear this from men too. Yeah. We've had one guy who said, if I can just show her how perfect I am for her, then we'd be perfect together. And it's because he's turning that focus on the other person. It never will work out great that way because the focus should be on yourself because you can only control yourself. You can't control the other person.
Right. Ironically, like the thought of controlling ourselves seems so much more overwhelming than controlling other people.
That?
Because we have pain. When we look at our own issues, we have pain. And our mind and our psyche, the chief function is to insulate ourselves from pain because it costs us energy, and energy costs us food and mating and shelter. We're like cavemen. And so if we can control someone else, we have this neutrality where it's like, well, you know, fuck, I don't know, if I were their parents, no skin off my back. Like we can walk away from those issues, but we cannot walk away from ourselves. When we think about examining our own issues, it just seems like this pit, this bottomless pit that we're going to fall into. We're going to start crying and we are never going to stop. I talk about like psychological splinters. Like you get a splinter and you know pulling it out is going to hurt, but you also know that if you leave it, it's going to fester. It's going to get so much worse. And you have to just yank it out. Because at least now you're sad and you're in pain in service of healing. Mm. There's some sort of point to it. Not just I'm in chaos and everything's just throbbing and hurting over and over and over again. Right. We have to yank that out.
Well, I think that's why people are having such hard times right now with the quarantine. Mm-hmm. Like I think the people that have done the work that are single on their own maybe are adjusting better. But there's a lot of people that I've talked to that are just like, oh, I can't go out. I can't go to this event. I can't see this person and this person and this person. I'm like, damn, do people just have like a way more active social life than I do? That I'm like, damn, it's been like 2 weeks. It has been two full weekends in San Francisco that we've been on lockdown. It's 2 weeks. Like, it's not that much. And I think it's that sitting with your own thoughts that is really hard for people. So we found all these distractions. So I agree that now is probably the time where a lot of people will have a chance to do that self-work. And it might get really uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's withdrawal. You know, like everyone has vices, and whether it's alcohol, it's like very clear what that vice is, or it's just social media and keeping yourself busy. And that's how I was. And it destroyed my marriage. It did. And because I couldn't just be home with him, I had to be at every event. I had to be on every red carpet, blah, blah, blah. Who the hell wants to be married to someone like that? You know, that wasn't what he signed up for. And he thought he was going to change me. And I thought I was going to change him. And it cost me a wonderful person, you know, and I was like, I'm not just going to hurt for no reason over this. Like, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to grow somehow from this and be okay being alone with myself. I mean, there was a lot of other reasons, but right. at least that was something that was coming from my side of the street that like, okay, this is something I can focus on.
But you know? Also a lot of people who get out of marriages, the first relationship they jump into, they want to apply all yeah. of their learnings to that person. Yeah. And they think, well, I learned yeah. all this from my previous marriage yeah. that I can make this relationship perfect. And when that relationship doesn't work out, you feel like a failure. You feel like, what happened? Why did I not apply the learnings like the way right. that I wanted them to?
That's a really good point.
It's super interesting because I feel like too, a lot of times people are like, I really want to be in a relationship. I don't have time to date. I feel like we get that over and over and over again. And it's like, they cannot find time in their schedule to like go and meet these dates because they have too many events. They have too many friends to see. They have mm-hmm. too much work to do, whatever it may be. And I think this is like actually causing people to slow down and like make that time. I think it's bringing to the surface the importance of relationships because at the end of the yeah. day, that's like who is there for you is your loved ones. And yeah. hopefully by slowing down during this time, people will actually be able to slow down a little in their actual lives once things pick up to make room mm-hmm. for that partner.
Right. Because I mean, it's like someone saying, I really want a good body, but I don't have time to right. work out. It's like, okay, well, right. I think you know yeah. the outcome, you know?
Yeah. People say this no all the time. And it's like, well, how is just if you're in a relationship, first of all, how are you going to get there? But second, like when you are you just magically going to have all the time in the world? Like unless you just literally throw your life away, that's the other thing.
That's a really good point. It's like a relationship is not just this thing you wind up and it just goes of itself forever. It's like that to me tells me people are being like, I used to be where it's like, I'm casting for the role of boyfriend. I'm casting right. for the role of whatever. It's like, you just need like a person here mm-hmm.
and to fill that role.
They're just going
to
be here. And
read
then,
some lines and you're
I
good.
I don't know. It's like, I love dating. I love the ups and downs even. It's just, it's exciting. I like meeting new people. Yeah. And the best case scenario is, oh my gosh, now this person's in my life more and there's room for them. And when people say marriage is work, like it is every relationship. Friendships are work. Coworker relationships are work. Like if they just want to go to that like level 10, the sweatpants and Netflix level, I don't think they really have the emotional IQ to sustain that. So like, well, no wonder you don't have it. You're not putting in the work.
That's the problem. This is what we hear from a lot of people too, is that they want the family. They want the kids. Mm-hmm. They want the house with the dog and blah, 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 blah. But then they're not willing to pave that road to get there. So for some reason, right. I think it's like this idea of like instant gratification. I think our generation is so guilty of this, is that we want the microwave effect with relationships. Right? We think this is raw. This yeah. is something that's frozen. It's magically going to just defrost in the microwave. And when it comes out, it's going to be ready. It will be ready for me.
Right.
And that's not how relationships right. work. And that's not how life works in general either. So those are just some of the learnings that I think people could really think about while they're in quarantine.
Well, they want that microwave because they're trying to fill a void, you know, like mm-hmm. they think that's what's going to make them happy is like checking a box. It's like being a tourist versus being a traveler. A tourist is like, I want to see the Louvre. Like, I want to see the Mona Lisa. I want to say I've seen it. A traveler wants to like plan the trip, pack the bag, explore, blah, blah, blah. They want the journey, not just mm-hmm. the destination, because it's like, okay, you've seen it. Okay. You have a husband. Like, do you think that's the end of your problems? Do you think having kids means you never stress about right. where your life is going again? Ask some parents quarantined home with their kids.
They're just trying to survive. I told Julie this. I was at a wedding, I guess it was like a few years ago, and there was this really well-known tech founder there, and he has a lot of these like founder friends who are all at an age that they mm-hmm. want to get married. All of a sudden, they're done dating Instagram models, and they're like, hey, I'm ready for a wife. And he said to me, he said, Yue, you would make so much money if you can write code for like the perfect wife oh for someone. And this is, he was being totally serious. He's what? Like, here's a business idea, a code, a formula where someone, a guy would just plug and chug what he's looking for, his personality, and it would then feed into... and it would feed into that's an app terrible. Like Bumble or Tinder, and then boom, come out like a machine, like a vending machine, come out with the right person for them, the perfect person. And he said this on top of, he goes, and if you write this code, it dispenses the perfect wife for that person. Then they just get married. That's it. That's the end. They get married and that's it. There's no courtship.
Shell, this is what we have to deal wow. with in the Bay Area. She's about to lose her fucking mind.
Oh, I know. I know. People are like, oh, if you leave New York, you should go to San Francisco. It's like, no, Thank you. It's I am.
Did we just officially seal the deal not to
Shallon,
come?
If you came to San Francisco, if you came to San Francisco, I give you 1 year to become that person on the street on your AirPods, just like swearing to yourself. Fuck. What the fuck is this?
I feel like Shallon would like slap everyone into shape here. I think you need to come here for a year. Someone should pay you to move here for a year.
It's like a tour of duty, the government.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think there's a lot, like back to the intentional fuckboys or not intentional. Mm-hmm. I think it's my personal opinion in San Francisco is I would say it's like 80-20. 80% not intentional because they're just clueless.
Oh. Super clueless.
And there are the 20% mm-hmm. that are just like racking up girls, right? So it's like you either get no one or it's like the same group of guys that are getting everyone. Mm-hmm. But you should come and whip them into shape.
Oh my gosh, a Shallon boot camp.
She's like,
fucking Shallon boot camp. I would love to do it. This is a goal for next year is to do like retreats. And it's
but this is not one of those yoga retreats where you feel zen. This is like, you're going to get abused.
Nope.
Shallon's like, I'll do it for a week, not a year.
No, can you just see this? And like, we line up like 20 guys and she goes down the line. She's like, quick, how many days till you text her back? And he's like, 5. And you're like, across the face. No, fuck you. Next.
He's like, I don't know. I don't know if I should text her. You're like, get your fucking shit in order.
She like kicks him in the balls.
Get shit in order.
He's like, right. Fuck you. Next.
Oh my God. Well, this has been one hell of a conversation. I think that's
been so fun.
I think my biggest takeaway from all of this is use this time. Use this time.
Yeah.
I love this idea of different seasons for beers. Like that analogy. You've thrown out so many great analogies this hour that we've been talking to you. But I think it's a great thing to remember that like your dating life isn't going to go away. And a lot of times, and I found this from experience, the best way to meet someone is to get yourself in the best place of your own mm-hmm. personal happiness. And it's not going on date after date after date. So use this time.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some people that are trying virtual dates and I think everyone needs to decide what's right for them. But if you're not up for that right now, like don't feel bad about that either. Like mm-hmm. use your time, get your house in order, decide what you're going to stand for. I'm turning a corner a little that the quarantine is not an excuse for bad behavior. I think that
no.
You're revoking that driver's license, finally?
No. I mean, I still think there's like a line, but I agree. If you haven't heard from someone at all, even maybe you've sent them the one text, they haven't replied back or sent you a lukewarm message, do not fucking regroup with that person after quarantine. This is a time that you are seeing who is there for you. So I guess my other takeaway is even if you're going to take my advice of the one-time driver's tickets and then I'm going to do driver tickets. Yeah. I'm not giving anyone a license. I'm giving them like a warning, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, if you're going to take that advice, still use it as a data point and see what they do with that. Like the fact that they weren't reaching out on their own, if they don't have a real reason, like someone is ill, like then use that as a data point. And also what they do after you reach out, use that as data points. Data points are very important.
They are. And sometimes it helps to literally write them down mm-hmm. because we only tend to want to remember the positive ones.
Right.
You know, it's like try to approach it neutrally, and you can approach things more neutrally if you like yourself more, you know, because you're looking out for like the Shallon Corporation, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm looking out for my own interests, and because you can't be half of a whole if you don't know what half you are. And this is the time to know.
Yeah. Well, and also we just need to be more consistent with our actions so that we don't train these bad drivers to go back out on the road. Two major takeaways for me. One is I love what you said, Shallon, the words in service of something, because I think mm-hmm. sometimes when we sit with our feelings, we see there's no end in sight. When is this depression, the sadness, this loneliness going to end? But when you put it in the context of in service of something, then you feel like you're climbing a ladder, that there is an end in sight. So I'm feeling the loneliness in service of me feeling free after this, feeling mm-hmm. more confident after this. And that way you can visualize your emotional ladder of how you can climb your way to your ultimate happiness. And this other idea of what you said about dating people who you want to be, that is so fascinating. Yes. I actually have never really thought about that, but that's because... Yeah. Who you want to be is someone you admire. So of course you admire the mm-hmm. person that you're dating. Yeah. I've been reading this book called Atomic Habits, James Clear. I'm sure some of you have read it too, but it's a fabulous book all about how your habits can feed into your ideal identity. If you are starting to see your pattern of falling for people who you want to be, start writing down what their identity is, because it's not about them, it's about you, right? So if this is the identity you wish to be, then your everyday habits should be a vote for that identity. When I wake up in the morning and I read an article about this, is that a vote for this identity? Or is that a vote for another identity? And he talks about how you just keep casting votes every day in your daily habits on that for that identity that you really want to be. And it's a great way to collect data as well to see how you're really doing this. And it's good because
that's amazing.
Isn't that great? It's like such a great to visualize.
That's great.
And it's all right to falter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll want to be the active person, but then maybe today you stay in bed and you're voting for another identity. Then you know that tomorrow you just have to balance it out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that, but it really comes from your thought of you being with people that you want to be. That is just mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good point though, is that like, if you're finding that you're holding on to someone because of their qualities, like how do you just evoke that within yourself? Right.
But like, if you could print money at home, you would never go get a job and work for someone else. You'd print that money at home. If you could print your own self-esteem, if you could print these traits at home, you wouldn't need to go out and find them in other people. You would enjoy them when you found them in others, because they'd be like, oh, now you're my equal. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, you're not thirsty. I have to be around you. You're not thirsty. Like they are not the only way you see those traits. You see them every day in everything that you do for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. I think that really is another takeaway too, is like, is this person an equal, or do you have this like unhealthy obsession with them? Because I think that also helps to understand when you should be giving someone the benefit of the doubt versus being.
That's true.
Yeah. I think that maybe that is the revelation here, because like when you're in a relationship, like people aren't mind readers, right? Like they could be doing something that is unintentionally hurting you, and it is not malicious. Like there was another like dating coach out there that used to say, his name was like Evan Mark Katz. I don't know if you heard of him, but he used to say like all the time, like if he's your boyfriend, he has your best intentions at heart. And give him the benefit of the doubt. If he's not your boyfriend, that's a totally different situation.
Exactly. Don't give boyfriend elasticity to someone you're only dating.
Right.
Like,
and maybe that's where the line is. And I think it's also like, how are you feeling? Are you generally calm? Maybe they haven't texted you, but you're generally calm and you're like, well, I know that they really do care, versus you're like in a like frenzy, right?
Totally.
And I think that's very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is behavior an outlier or is it part of a pattern? You know, if it's an outlier, it can be corrected. If it's like, if this is the norm.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to ask yourself, why do I allow this to be the norm? Why am I okay feeling this bad? Am I desperate? Is this how I felt around my parents? Is this how my mom felt around my dad? You know, where does it end? And again, that kind of thing feels like bottomless to explore, but it really isn't. Like even just being aware, like once I became aware of like why I had that codependent thing with my ex-boyfriend, I was able to back away from it. And it's like, okay, now I see that the part of my brain that's telling me to do this is like demon brain, you know, like it's my demon brain. It's not my rational Shallon brain. And I'm like, okay, thank you for the suggestion, demon brain, but I'm actually not going to go with that choice, you know? And just that sliver of objectivity made all the difference. We still broke up, but.
Damn you, demon brain. Demon brain is horny. I don't know.
It's horny like demon. It's like the 90% rule though. Like, are you feeling good like 90% or is it like every day there's a new emotion happening? Like those are ways that you can really identify how much of a fuckboy this is. But
Totally.
I think the one last takeaway that I have is I love this bad driver, drunk driver analogy. Just because someone's not aware of what they're doing doesn't make it okay. And I think a lot of times we justify that behavior. It's, oh, he's a nice guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't mean well. If you're not feeling good, and again, this goes back to what we were just saying, is this a pattern or a one-off? If it's a one-off, call it out. If it's a pattern, it doesn't really matter what his intention is.
No, because it's not your job to fix him. And that's what we almost like that. If it's a pattern, it's like, oh, now I get to dig in. I have a project. No.
Yeah, you can't tell
go
him.
Go sew a mask.
You can't tell him to go to driver's ed, but still let him drive to your house. I mean, that's just not... He's not going to learn anything from that. So let him figure out that he needs to go to driver's ed on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Shallon, you do your daily live stream from 3 to 4:30 Pacific time every day on your YouTube channel. If anybody wants to tune in, and you're going to be doing this for the foreseeable future.
I took like the last day or two off just because I needed to like reset. But I'm still doing my daily videos on like Love is Blind, the Kardashians, Ellen, and like what we can learn from people like that. I forgot to say this at the beginning, but the whole reason we like started talking and did this collab is because I commented on what you guys posted. The engagement video, you guys thought I was kidding. I was like,
I told Julie that I didn't think you were kidding, and she thought you were kidding. She's like, reach out to her, see if she wants to elaborate on it. I'm like, I don't think she's kidding. I think she was really mad by the post.
I was like, I'm going to report this to Instagram. This is offensive. People getting engaged. This is ridiculous.
Hey, we got you. The plan worked.
I fell right into your trap.
I feel like we've been trying to get you on the podcast for some time now. We've like hit you up a few times, so we got you. We trapped you.
Well, now you're stuck with me. I'll be back on here whenever
you want. Our game playing really worked.
That was the whole point of that post. You just didn't know it. Mission accomplished. But for anyone that doesn't know your YouTube channel, can you kind of tell people where they can check it out?
Yep. It's just my name, Shallon Lester, on YouTube. And you can follow me on Instagram, Cameo, and TikTok at Shallon XO, and my podcast is called Girl on Top, and it's out every Wednesday. And if you guys have a love question and you want to like talk to me one-on-one, I answer individual questions on my website, Shallon Lester.
Awesome. And if you're interested in the Shallon boot camp where she'll kick you in the balls, let us know. We're going to start a wait list right now.
Yeah. And if you don't want to be in the boot camp and you are a D1 athlete, you may also slide into my DMs.
I love it. You're like, I'm all against fuckboys unless you're a D1 athlete. Then all the rules don't apply.
I mean, because you know what? You've got the abs to back it up. So I'm not mad at that. If you're going to be a douchebag, you have to be hot. That's all I ask.
Exactly. The horny demon is talking again.
But I think that is like on a closing note, I think it is a good lesson for all men, right? Of how would a woman be feeling right now? Can you put yourself in their shoes, whether it's you're intentionally trying to fuck someone over or totally clueless? Can you just take a step back and be like, okay, I'm not getting the dating results I want. Is it me? Because I feel like a lot of times people play the victim mentality, right? It's like, why don't women like me? And it's like, wait, could I just put in 10 more minutes to better understand women opposed to 10 more minutes complaining that no women like me?
Right. It's like, be a human being. And like, women are constantly giving feedback. We are constantly talking and sharing how we feel. It's like, maybe just listen. In service to the job. Just try it.
Sweet. Okay, we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you so much, Shallon, for being on Dateable. You are
This was so fun.
Such a riot. You're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. We love you. We love you. Love
girl on top.
Yeah, Shallon on top. That's how it is. It's her world and we just live in it.
I'm glad. I love it.
Yeah. And just me with like long nails and like a pink pleather hat.
It's
like,
you, what? It's you, Shallon, with tentacles. It's you with tentacles. That's it.
And hoop earrings.
That's all you do. Sweet. Okay. We're going to wrap this up.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.